Good morning, Boker Tov, and a very happy Lag BaOmer. Welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. This week, we have the privilege of reading and learning not only one Parsha. If you love one Parsha, you're really going to love two. We're on our streak of two Parshios last few weeks. Bahar and Bechukosai. Parsha series is generally sponsored by Becky and Avi Katz and family in memory of Becky's father. Our learning is Leila Nishmas, David Grossman, David Ben Menachem Munish. Very grateful to the Katz family. And our series is also sponsored by the Deichmann family in memory of their daughter and sister, Daniela Rachel Bas Shalom Ezra, who left this world tragically way too soon and too young. Her neshama should have an aliyah. Today's shiur is sponsored anonymously in the merit of Avner ben Avram, HaKohen, Chandel Bas Dov Mishlom, and David Mishlom, Nisim and Shimon, Rafal Chaim, and David Asraf, Erchab Bas Yosef Alevi. May their neshamas have an aliyah. One scheduling note. Next week in Mirza Hashem, I'm traveling for two weddings. So unable to do the class on Tuesday. We're going to do the class on Sunday evening before Mincha. Whoever can make it, will make it. Whoever can't make it, you can listen later online. Pay attention in the WhatsApp group. We'll announce exactly the time. But the Shir, Parsha Shir next week will take place on Sunday. And with that, we begin. Parshas Behar. We'll try to take a look at some Divrei Torah and insights from each of the Parshios. Behar is on page 696 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Behar Sinai Lemor. God spoke to Moshe. And here the Torah gives us the topography, the climate. It gives us the geography. It tells us not just that Hashem spoke to Moshe, but it tells us where he spoke to him. And where did he speak to him? Behar Sinai. And Rashi famously comments, Ma inyan Shemitah etzal Har Sinai. The opening laws of our parsha are the laws of Shemitah, of the sabbatical year and the seventh year. What does that have to do with Sinai? Why is it introduced by telling us where that halacha was given? Hashem spoke to Moshe where? Wasn't in the city. Wasn't in the country, it was in the desert. It was Har Sinai. Why? Ma inyan Shemitah etzal Har Sinai. V'alo kol mitzvos nemar misinai. What's special about Shemitah? All mitzvos originated. All mitzvos were given at Har Sinai. So why single out Shemitah? Elama Shemitah nemar kol osa uprotus avidiktoka misinai. Just like Shemitah, both the general rules as well as all the intricate minutiae and details were all given and transmitted at Har Sinai. So Rashi says, Shemitah is the example. Shemitah is the paradigm, the prototype. Just like Shemitah, generally and specifically, everything, the theme and the deeper meaning, as well as all the halachic details, it was all given at Har Sinai. The same is true for all mitzvahs. Ask Rosh Shmuel Berman ben Tver Shmuel, Lama yesh hadgasha davka mitzvah Shemitah, she nemar bahar Sinai kol kol aseh. Rashi supposedly asked a question and gave an answer, but the answer, in case you didn't notice, the answer doesn't really answer the question. The question was, of all the 613 mitzvahs you could have given as an example or connected to Sinai, why Shemitah? And the answer is, just like Shemitah, the general rules and specifics were given at Sinai, so too all mitzvahs. Okay, Shabbos, Kashrus, Yom Kippur, everything, the general rules and the specific details were given at Sinai. So Rashi asked a question, ostensibly gave an answer, but the answer doesn't answer the question, and we're left with the question. So you could do your Shnai Mikra, you could learn the Parsha and keep going, check, I read Rashi, or you could turn on your brain and think and ask, but Rashi didn't really answer his question. We've investigated this in the past, we've quoted answers previously, but I want to share with you the insight of Rav Shmuel Berman, the Tiferes Shmuel. Ode Tzarechim, but first he asks another question, like a good Rosh Hashiva. He builds a series of questions and gives one answer. Lama lo maspik lama vedaber shema Moshe lemor shemitzazu etzivoy shalakosh baruchu ma limud lano shenemer bahar Sinai. Altogether, why do we need any introduction? One question is, why was Shemitah chosen as opposed to other mitzvos? But more directly, why do we have to give Har Sinai as the introduction at all? Why not just say Hashem spoke to Moshe and he commanded as follows? Where? When? What was the climate? What was the environment? It was the desert, Har Sinai, it was a mountain. What is this mitzvah of Shemitah? The whole first part of our parsha, What is this mitzvah of Shemitah? The mitzvah of Shemitah obligates the farmer. We don't relate to this or identify so much with it because most of us, all of us, are not farmers. We don't rely on working our field and the rain and the weather and the Hashkacha and the providence of Hashem, we go to the supermarket and we buy our ingredients and we make our food. But we're not farmers and we're not asked to take off a year. Lawyers and accountants and doctors and rabbis are not told, take a sabbatical. Now you'd say a sabbatical, if I were offered, I'd love to. Only the Torah's version of a sabbatical is what's called an unpaid sabbatical. It's an unpaid sabbatical. So this farmer is told once every 7 years, a year with no income. What does that look like, a year with no income? Hari b'zeh Torah tells men a kol ha'bailus asadosav, shem gam ha'business shelo. Torah says your income, your business, where you generate your money to support your life and your lifestyle, comes to a screeching halt. Stop. It has to lay fallow. You can't work. Imagine the doctor, the lawyer, the rabbi. Close your office. Turn off your website. No clients, no customers, no patients, no business, no income, no salary, no compensation, no way to pay your bills. Bishlam b'shar hilchos yisurin shal Torah g'onochos Shabbos hilchos kashrus hakol mivinim shem das Hashem mahu asur mahu mutter. So when it comes to religious obligations, when it comes to mitzvahs that I never otherwise would have thought about, when it comes to things that are purely spiritual, I understand God calls the shots. When it comes to Shabbos, God says what's permissible, what's forbidden. When it comes to kosher, God says good and no good. So things that we have no idea about, we have no bailus, no ownership over. Exactly how do you shecht? Exactly how do you do? We just started in Daf Yomi Chulin, Tractate Chulin. Exactly how do you do the ritual slaughter? The front or in the back of the neck? How much do you have to cut? What are the five prohibitions with the knife? So we surrender to Hashem. We know that's not our domain. But when it comes to money, we're almost tempted to say, God, fall back, I got this. When it comes to knowing how to run our business, how to make money, how to advertise and market, how to manage our clients, God, you stay in your lane, I got this. I'm the business person.
Bari avur hakarka lanicha reik me'avoda shana achas v'lo l'shtamesh b'kaseh d'bli hefsek.
Some think that the reason for the mitzvah of Shemitah is environmental. It's a love of the land. The land needs to rejuvenate. The land needs to rest. Show some respect and love to the land. You're going to overwork it. It's not going to produce for you. So treat the land with respect.
V'ha'adam yachol achshov shu yodeh ba'atzma yitem menucha l'karko l'kama zman.
And a person might think, I'll tell you, I know my land. I know how much it needs to rest. I know how much it needs to be off.
We see this also at the beginning of Parsha Mishpatim. Eila Mishpatim, Koma Kishnemer, Eila Pasal Sarishonim. Ve Eila Mosav Alishonim. Ma Rishonim Misina, Af Eila Misinai.
Similarly, Parsha Mishpatim. Ve Eila Mishpatim, the Vav HaChibur, the end that begins that Parsha, is telling us that all those laws, civil, tort, criminal, interpersonal, all those laws that govern business, how we interact with each other, they come from Sinai. We need to know. People mistakenly think God is in shul, God is in the Beis Medrash, God maybe is even in my home. But at work, God, wait outside for me. Wait outside for me. How I conduct myself, the business I do, how I market, how I relate, what I promise, do I deliver, what's my integrity. God, you wait outside for me. I got this business, that's my domain. That I know how to do. Comes along the Torah and says, specifically in the area that you might make that mistake, in the area of business, in the area of money, in the area of gaining material, in the area of this fly, is Gilgal. Wow. Okay. So in that area, you might think, God, you wait outside. The Torah says, God's coming in. God is in. He doesn't need your invitation because it's God's business. It's not your business. Ein atoli b'haskam has been adam klal, k'mo shar dini ha-Torah. Just like the rules of Kashrus, the rules of Shabbos don't get your input. You don't get to vote. It's not a democracy. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is the one who gave us the rules. They're all for our own benefit. They're good for what's good for us and right for us. But he gave us the prescription and formula. The same is true when it comes to work and business. Gigon Isaribis. Similarly, we see in our parsha the prohibition of interest. You're not allowed to, a Jew can't charge a fellow Jew interest. Shalova maskim l'shalem haribis. Even when the borrower is willing and agrees to pay the interest. Or the prohibition of unfair inflated business prices.
Even when the buyer wants that so badly, that product, they're willing to pay a sixth or more than a sixth over for the product. They just want it so badly. You might say, God, mind your business. This is between us. The lender and the borrower, they both agree for ribbis. God, stay in your lane. You might think, oh no, the purchaser and the seller, they both agree on this price, even though it's inflated, even though it's exorbitant, even though it's not usury, but extortion and whatever price. No, if they both agree, you might say, God, stay in your lane. It's not just the detailed, intricate laws of Shabbos. How do you use a warming drawer? How do you separate the jelly beans? The ones, how do you make tea? It's not only those details God gave us. God also gave us how to relate in business. What are the moral and ethical business practices? What's right and what's righteous? Not only the big themes, how many people think that they're honest and moral in business, but if you break it down to what they do, maybe they cut corners. Maybe they bend the truth. Maybe they market unfairly. Maybe they compete ruthlessly. Maybe they're using the copy machine and bringing home school supplies for their family. So even those who say, of course I have integrity in business, but how do you know if you don't get into the minutiae and the details of how God defines integrity in business? That too comes from the Almighty. That too comes from Hashem. Gam pratim ha'elu enitulim klal b'hasakam es b'nei adam. And that, says Rav Shmuel Berenbaum, is why Shemitah was chosen as out of the 613 the mitzvah, where the Torah says it came from Sinai like all others. Why? Because Shemitah is all about the person who says, this is my business. God, what are you doing up in my business? Get out of my business. This is my business. The field, the farmer, this is my income. God, fall back. Get out of my business. God says, your business is my business. You have no business without my being in the business. And the details of how you run it, you've got to be moral and ethical. You got to be loyal. You've got to follow. You've got to follow me. And then Rav Shmuel Berman takes it a step further. And he says, maybe the reason that this is connected to Sinai is because it's the same experience. After all, when we stood at Har Sinai, what was transformational? What was so impactful? What was that moment of revelation? At Har Sinai, we heard directly from God himself, and the Almighty said, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. I created the world and everything in it. I am in charge. Because what does it take in order to be resilient, in order to have the resolve to observe Shemitah? Not so simple. We had a friend who came here during the last Shemitah. Lana, she came for a Shabbos. She and her husband Doron run a field, and they chose to observe Shemitah. On one of our missions to Israel, we actually visited her field. And that's a huge statement, an incredible expression of emunah. Imagine an unpaid sabbatical that you take, I would say voluntarily, but it's not voluntarily, the Torah demands it. Some rely on heter mechira, and you have farmers who say, we don't want to, we will no longer rely on the heter mechira. We are willing and ready to have an unpaid sabbatical. Why? Because we have faith in Hashem. Because Hashem told us to. Because Hashem said that's what's right for us. Because instead of waking up before the crack of dawn and having no time to learn or grow, for 1 year, we have a sabbatical. And we're able to spend time that the other 6 years we say and we claim we don't. And by the way, that's exactly what she said they do. During that year, they took upon themselves all kinds of areas of Torah learning. Beautiful, beautiful. So where does it come from, that resolve? Why should we have faith that even if we take an unpaid sabbatical, we're still going to be able to feed our family, keep a roof over our head, not lose our farm? Why? Har Sinai. Because the same Hashem who spoke to us at Har Sinai and said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. Stick with me. I've got your back. I'll be with you and I'll take care of you. That's the same Hashem who said, observe Shemitah and I've got your back. And that, says Rav Shmuel Berenbaum, that is the connection between Shemitah and Har Sinai. Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis. Daber ben Yisrael ben kizavol ha'etah shem nizuchim v'shav taret Shabbos l'Hashem. When you come into the land that I give you, the land should observe Shabbos. Why? V'shav saha'aretz. The land is observing Shabbos. Shabbos l'Hashem. The land is observing Shabbos. And for whom is the Shabbos? It's Shabbos for Shabbos for Hashem. Says the Menachem Tzion, Rabbi Menachem Tzion, Zaks, we've been learning the new edition. Gam b'Shabbos k'siv Shabbos il Hashem. That language, the land is observing Shabbos. Why? Shabbos for Hashem. And similarly, our Shabbos, the land's Shabbos is once every 7 years. Our Shabbos is how often? Once every 7 days. Shteim Shavos b'matarasam v'tachlisam. Says the Menachem Tzion, both the Shabbos of the land and our Shabbos, both are similar, they're the same when it comes to their goal and their tachlis, their purpose. Al shomreim lahakdish l'Hashem es chofesh min ha'avoda. The purpose and the reason that we rest is not a rest of shluf. It's not a competition how many hours can we sleep. The rest is not so that we can define rest. I go to the beach, I binge watch Netflix, I do this. What's the purpose of the rest? What's the ultimate rest? What's a real rest? L'sasek b'torah uv'mitzvos. L'fatemes ha'nefesh b'ruchnias u'lahavrias ha'neshama. What's the Shabbos ha'aretz? Shabbos l'Hashem. Similarly for us, Shabbos hila. Shabbos, Shabbos hila Hashem. Shabbos is l'Hashem. The whole reason I'm off is to be with Hashem. It's like the person who took off from work on the family vacation, but then they keep leaving their family to go play golf. They keep leaving their family to go indulge in the things that they want to do on vacation. Their family says, this was a family trip. The whole purpose was to spend time together and to build memories and to connect. And you keep disappearing. You're missing the whole point of why you took off. So God says, hi, over here. The whole reason that I told you to take off once a week is so we can spend time together. You with your family and me, us together in song and in laughter and in learning and also in rest. Get a good shluf. Nothing wrong with that. Enjoy your meal. But a person should know that whether it comes to Shemitah for the land or Shabbos for us, it's always connected to Shabbos Hi Lashem. Don't ever lose sight on the purpose and the reason. Don't take a vacation and not spend the time with Hashem, which was the whole purpose and reason for it from the beginning. As I zakti Menachem Tzion. The Otzar Parsha has a different interpretation. Otzar Parsha says the following. Haseidah l'chor tzorach liyos hafuch. He says the psukim seem to be backwards here. If you look at the end of Pasuk Beis, it says, V'shav sa'aretz Shabbos l'Hashem. When you enter the land, observe a Shemitah. Then the next Pasuk says, Sheshan it is rasadecha, v'sheshan it is morkamecha. 6 years, plant your field 6 years, your vineyard, v'yasavtes tvuasa, and harvest what you grow. And then the seventh year, Shabbos, Shabbason yela aretz. Shabbos l'Hashem. So, but first the end of Pasuk Beis was Shabbos Ha'aretz. Then Pasuk Gimel Sheish Shanim. Why would you begin with the seventh year? Start, introduce it with 6 years work the land and the seventh year rest. Why do we start the section, the Torah, the Halacha with in the seventh year rest, 6 years work your field? We get it backwards. Tzarcha Elios Hafach Kodem Sheish Shanim Tizra V'yachakach V'shav Sa'aretz Eliyesh Levar Kasher Mekayim Sheish Shanim Tizra Sadecha Tzricha Elios Mutelas Alibo Shel Hazorei Ha'idia Shesofa l'kayim v'shav sarat Shabbos l'Hashem. Va'az mikadesh ashesh shanos hazriya b'mitzvah shana shviyas. Alkein nemar kodem v'shav sarat l'Hashem. Such a beautiful insight. True, you need to work 6 years before you get the seventh year. True, you need to work 6 days before you get the seventh day of Shabbos. So why introduce it out of order? Shemitah, then 6 years of work. Shabbos, then 6 days of work. You know why? Because it's telling us the tachlis, the payday, the payoff, the purpose. Even before you get started, know the essence. Know the reason, know the goal. Such a beautiful insight. So before the farmer starts working the 6 years, the farmer should be inspired. He or she should know, why am I plowing and planting and harvesting and baking and toiling? Why am I working in the sun, breaking my back on this labor? You know why? To get to a seventh year where I could take off a sabbatical. I'm going to grow and work and condition and cultivate my emunah. I'm going to have time to learn and rest and restore and rejuvenate not only the land, more importantly, myself. So what inspires all the work of the 6 years? The knowledge of the seventh year. Similarly, what inspires all 6 days of the week? The knowledge of the payoff of Shabbos. I say this all the time. We have a shir, it's 5 to 10 minutes on Fridays, called Turn Friday into Erev Shabbos. And I've repeated this countless times. People mistakenly think, what's Shabbos about? Shabbos, I rest. So I can go back to work the week. I need Shabbos because I'll burn out. So Shabbos, I sleep, I play games, I laugh, I enjoy, I eat, I take off, I disconnect from technology. Why? So that I can be ready so that Motzei Shabbos I can make Avdallah, boom, back on my device, back answering email, back at work, back in the office. I need Shabbos in order to go back to work. It's backwards. It's the opposite. We work 6 days. Why? So we could have Shabbos. The goal, the destination, is not work. It's not that I rest on Shabbos to get back to work. It's I work all week so that I have Shabbos. Don't believe me? We say it in our davening. Shabbos we describe as tachlis, l'maisa bereishis. It's the tachlis. What's tachlis? Tachlis is the goal. It's the purpose. It's the essence. It's the tachlis. The tachlis of working all week is Shabbos. So Nebuchadnezzar, there are people who work all week, and then they don't even experience and tap into and enjoy the beauty of Shabbos. They miss the payoff. They miss the reward. They miss the goal. They miss what it's all about. Shabbos is incredible. Shabbos is the best. Shabbos is transformational. The world is first coming to appreciate Shabbos. With all the addiction and technology problems, the world is coming to promote a Sabbath. You need a technology Sabbath. They're like, duh. We've only been doing it for almost 6,000 years. We've been doing it for thousands of years since before Har Sinai. This was given in Sham Samlo Derech, Sham Samlo Choku Mishpat, Sham Nisohu. Shabbos was already given in Arvos Moav. Shabbos was given to us even earlier than Har Sinai. Shabbos was given, there's evidence, in Mitzrayim. When Moshe complained to Paro, you're going to kill them. They need one day off a week. And they got Shabbos already in Mitzrayim. From our very inception, we knew we needed Shabbos. As has been said, more than the Jew has kept Shabbos, Shabbos has kept the Jew. This is my little editorial, sorry about Shabbos. I'm in love with it. I can't help but talk about it. I just love Shabbos so much. And by the way, in this room, I'm the only one who works on Shabbos. And it doesn't matter. Even though I work on Shabbos, I love Shabbos. And frankly, when I'm not working on Shabbos, I don't love it as much. Because when I'm not sitting for bringing at a Shal Shittas, at a Rav Deravin, it's not as good. And not darshaning, and there's no I love it. I love it. So we have to know the Torah introduces the seventh year before the first six. The seventh day before the first six. Why? It should guide and inspire and motivate. All 6 days you work, it's not just, I need Shabbos so I can get back to work to make more. No, the whole reason I'm working all these days is to be able to be family and friends and enjoy the beauty of a halig and a holy Shabbos. He has more, but we have a lot more to cover. The Abar Benel also has something to say here. It says, Don Yitzchak Abar Benel, Ikra mitzvah shmita lahaskel adam lachus al aveda zmano. He says the whole reason for Shemitah is to remember that the most precious commodity you have is, what's the most precious commodity you have? It's not the shekel, which is now so much stronger than the dollar. What's the most precious commodity you have? I'll give you a hint. It's finite. You can't get more of it. When you waste it, you can't bring it back. You can't expand it. You can't slow it down, and you can't make it go any faster. What's the most precious commodity you have? If you're rich, you don't have more of it. If you're poor, you don't have less of it. The most precious commodity we all have is time. It's time. It's the most precious and therefore the most holy and therefore can ever be squandered. And we believe that killing it is an act of murder. Killing time, people who say, yeah, I had to kill some time. I was stuck. I was where I was. I had to kill some time. You killed time? I'm arresting you. First degree murder. You killed time. We don't kill time. Chas v'shalom. You kill time? If we knew how precious time was, if we felt we were running out of it, what would we give for some more? Killing time is an act of murder. Says the Abar Benel, more than the loss of all of our money and all of our assets and all of our property is the loss of time. Our time is so limited. Even if we merit, even if we're privileged, we had the schus to celebrate our 102nd birthday of the Shabbos. Unbelievable. Kanai Nahara, many more years to come. But all of our lives in the span of eternity are but a blip. It's next to nothing. And how long is the average life? What did David HaMelech say? 70 years. Shivim Shana. Says the Abar Benel, that's what the Torah here is trying to remind us. Kedei lahazkir bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'mezayin yamim. God created the world in 7 days. V'kol inyan hashvi'iyos adaseh. Every unit of seven is a reminder that we're likely only going to make it 70 years. David HaMelech said, if you made it 70 years, you're better than most. How grateful you should be. Beyond your 70 years, you are incredibly blessed. Don't waste them and squander them. So it's the 70th year, you'll rest and go to the world of truth. Hashem said, work 6 years, the seventh year you're going to rest. That was his way of saying, in the 70th year, you might come to rest. Work those 6 years. Work those 60 plus years. Work. Adam la'amal yulad. We were meant to work. Baba Chareba said there's no such thing as retirement. Retirement is not part of the Jewish vocabulary. You could retire from your profession. You could retire from your avocation, but not your vocation. You could retire from your career, but you don't retire from your life, from your meaning, from your purpose. As I often point out, in fact, it's often only when you retire from your career that you can start working. Start working on what matters. Start working on finishing Shas. Start working on volunteering. Start working on philanthropy. Start working on leadership. Start working on your book or your memoirs or your who knows what. Start working. Start working on being the husband or wife or father or mother or grandfather or grandmother you always promised you would be. It's sometimes when you retire from your career and profession, now you can finally start working. But we don't ever retire. We're never done. We don't retire. There's nothing wrong. I don't need to get any emails. There's nothing wrong with Mahjong or shuffleboard or tennis or pickleball or golf. Nothing wrong with it. But Nebuch, sometimes I meet Jews in our holy capital of retirement called Boca Raton. And you talk what their week looks like. And they say, I play golf 5 days a week, and Mahjong 6 days a week, and pickleball 400 times a week. And then I go to the club and I do that. And I say, okay, like what? But what? Where's your life? That's like recreation. That's what you do for fun, a little bit each day. Come on, fill out your day. I go to this year, I volunteer in that place, I donate my time in this, I go visit that one. Come on, fill it out. Get to work. Get to work with life. Says the Abar Benel, that's the message of sevens. The message of sevens, be it the 7 days of the week or be it the 7 years of Shemitah, is that we will likely be here 70 years. And just like you work six before the rest of the seven, we work all our life until Hashem decides our time has come and it's time to rest. Perachafei Pasuk Chaf, a pasuk we've examined before. Page 700. In Shemitah, understandably, the farmer might ask, what if the farmer says, Hashem, unpaid sabbatical? Nice idea and I'm all in, but I got a simple question. What am I going to eat in the seventh year? What am I going to eat in the seventh year? It's reasonable. It's only understandable. A person's going to go hungry. Hashem says, take an unpaid sabbatical in the seventh year. It's natural and normal for a person to say, okay, but what am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? V'chi somru. And when you'll say, manocha, what will I eat in the seventh year? Heinlon is ravlon esav es tvoasein. We haven't planted. There's nothing to harvest. So the pasuk chavala, v'tzivisi es birchasi lachem. So I will renew, I will command my blessing in the sixth year. V'yasasa satvu l'shloshanim. Don't worry, have no fear. In the sixth year, the farm will produce three times the crops. So you have enough for the sixth year, seventh year, and the eighth year. So you have nothing to worry about in that seventh year. In that seventh year. We've mentioned in the past, Rav Bender, in his Sefer HaChumash quotes, that v'chi somru. It doesn't say if you'll ask. It says when you'll ask. Rav Bender says this is a very, very validating pasuk. The Torah here is not coming to be critical of the person who asks, what will we eat? The Torah here is trying to validate that it's very human. It's very normal. And the Torah wants us to be human and normal. And it's okay. A little bit of worry, a little bit of anxiety, that's normal. That's worry. Don't beat yourself up. Even if you go to the Living with Emunah, you're the 0.01 listener on Spotify, don't beat yourself up if in life, every now and then, you get a little worried because that's normal. That's human. That's human. However, the Torah says, once you ask it, v'chi somru, it's normal. It's natural. You're going to ask. No. Hashem's got your back, put your faith in Him, let go, let God, embrace your place, v'chulei, v'chulei, v'chulei. That's his interpretation. But the Nom Elimelech, the Heilige, Rav Elimelech of Lezhinsk, quotes his brother Reb Zusha. And the Rebbe Reb Zusha said, b'shem Achya Chassad, I'm a foursom. He quotes my famous brother, the Chassad. The Rebbe Reb Zusha, Yesh l'dakta ki yosha ha-tori yatsa b'kan midarka sh'derach ha-krilach sov ezi yisrul Hashem. The Torah deviates from the normal to add something which shouldn't be here. V'chi somru? And here we're going to answer several questions. Why does the Torah say the chisomra? Wouldn't it be better if you don't ask? You put your faith in Hashem and you were never bothered, you never hesitated, you never asked. And what is v'tziveisi is birchasi? God says, I will command my bracha. Since when does God command the bracha? Just give the bracha. Just bless the people with enough food in the fifth, sixth year for 6, 7, and 8. What vitzivesi as birchasi? I'll command my blessing. Said the Rebbe Reb Zusha, quoted by his brother Noam Elimelech. Nira, Shashem is baruch. Keshebaras ha'olam ishpia mituva tzinoros mushkam shefa mushkam shefa letzarchei b'nei Adam. Hashem created a world where there are channels in which blessings flow to his children. V'derech ha'shefa shalah hafsi klal. And once Hashem creates the pipeline for blessing, the blessing flows uninterrupted. Uninterrupted unless we interrupt it. And how do we interrupt it? When we doubt. When we question. When we're uncertain. Say, Hashem, I'm going to go hungry. How can I count on you? How do I know it's going to really work out? How do I know where you're going to be? When we can't challenge and we question, when we express doubt, all of a sudden, the pipe breaks. All of a sudden, the pipe is divided, is interrupted, the flow ends. Ein lo bitachon bebori baruch ha-mashkiach amiti ha-zan ha-mefarnis b'riyos b'li hafsi klal. Az osa adam hu machshavos ha-yashalom metur pegam chalila ba'olam ha-salyonim. We add a pegam in the upper worlds. Mityashin koach famaya shamala. We weaken the power of this bracha. Nifsak shefa chalila. And we stop this flow of blessing. So what does Hashem have to do? Sarach Hashem yizbaruch hu letzavos mechadash ha-shefa shetelech kmo betchilas ha-briya. So Hashem has to renew the blessing. And that's why the pasuk says, Vitzi visi es birchasi. I have to command the flow start again. I have to fix the pipe. I have to start the flow of blessing again. So the Rebbe Reb Zusha saw this as a criticism. Torah is warning us and cautioning us that the ideal is have such a beautiful faith in Hashem that you don't worry. Hashem, you said unpaid sabbatical? No problem, unpaid sabbatical. Where will I eat? I don't have that question. If he told me to do it, I know he's going to take care of me. But if you don't know, and if you question, then he needs to he's going to have to command in order to renew and restore that blessing, because otherwise it's not automatic. So here the Torah, unlike Rav Bender, who said the Torah is validating a person, be normal, be human, it's okay and understandable to ask. Here he is saying, the Rebbe Reb Zusha is saying exactly the opposite, that a person should try not to be in that place of asking v'chi somru. Shmuel Berenbaum also discusses this, but I wanted to share with you from the Lev Eliyahu, Lev Eliyahu Lopian. He has beautiful interpretation, and I have this somewhere here, unless I wasn't meant to share it with you. Oh, here it is, right in front of me. Sorry. I have the whole from Lev Eliyahu, Lev Eliyahu Lopian. And I'll just tell it to you outside because I want to get to Parshas Bechukosai as well. The Kli Yakar brings numerous opinions for the reason of this mitzvah, Shemitah. And he says the mitzvah is a reminder of creation. The fact that it's the seventh year is a reminder that God created the world in 6 days and rested in the seventh. And that we too are recreating that cycle just like we do every week. We also do in years in order to internalize this concept that Hashem is the creator and that he's in charge. And that whatever income, whatever harvest we bring in, whatever it rains in our lives, it's all from above. And how do you demonstrate you believe that? Because Hashem says, jump. Shemitah, the farmer's jumping. How do you know I'm going to catch you? Hashem says, show me the faith that you're going to jump anyway, V'chi somru, and if you'll ask, what are we going to eat? The Sfarno says that means a visible blessing that will quantitatively suffice for 3 years. Rashi explains, the Sfarno elaborates, the fruit of the, what does it mean that there'll be enough in the sixth year for the sixth, seventh, and eighth? So Rashi in the Sforno elaborates says it doesn't mean that in your storehouse you'll actually have more. What it means is the small amount will satiate you more. The produce of the sixth year will be quantitatively equal to that of other years. It'll be the same amount, but it will fill you up more. You'll need less of it to feel full. In other words, in the sixth year, I'll give you Ozempic. In the sixth year, I'll give you something that'll take less to feel just as full as if you had more. I thought I'd get a little bit more for that, but I might have touched a nerve. Okay, so Sforno says, Lev Eliyahu explains as follows. If you have the proper faith in Hashem and you don't ask what you're going to eat, then the amount grown will be the usual amount. No additional harvest or storage. You'll eat a small amount and you'll be fully satisfied. But if you have doubts about what you're going to eat in the seventh year, if your level of faith will be low, then Hashem will be forced to send enough in the sixth year for the sixth, seventh, and eighth. Either way, you'll have enough to eat. Will it happen in a miraculous fashion that even with less, you'll feel just as full? Or will he need to actually provide quantitatively more so you can see it and know it's there? That will all depend on the attitude that you bring. And Levi Eliyahu goes on and he says, there are lessons in Emunah and Bitachon that come from here, from Shemitah. Hashem is our shadow. And that means Hashem is the mirror. He reciprocates the attitude that we bring towards him. When we demonstrate tremendous faith in him, then he is there and brings miracles for us. But if we struggle and we don't show that faith in him, then we don't merit and receive those miracles. If we think, you know what, I operate in the natural order and naturally I need to work in order to have food to eat, then God says, you operate in the natural order, good luck. Good luck, you contend with nature. But if a person says, I'm not subject to nature, I operate under different rules. Hashem is in charge, Hashem is in control, I put myself in his hands. Yes, I take my initiative. Yes, I have to do what's asked of me. But when he tells me in the seventh year, stop working, I put my trust in him, then he says, I got your back. So Emunah and Ishtalus are reciprocal. We get out what we put in, and that's what Hashem is waiting for from us. Perachafei Pasal Chav Gimel, last insight in Bahar, we'll move over to Bechukosai. Chav Hei, Chav. Gimel page 700, still page 700. Torah says the land should not be sold to perpetuity, for the land is mine. You are gerim v'toshavim. Your sojourners and residents with me. Here the Torah is getting into laws of redemption of the land. When you sell land, when do you get it back? How do you redeem it? A walled city, an unwalled city, relative to Yovel, and so on. Says the Menachem Tzion, Ki gerim v'toshavim atem imadi. Is that a familiar phrase? Who identified and introduced himself that way? Ki ger v'toshav anochi imachem. Avram Avinu, when? With B'nei Ches. When he is negotiating Maras HaMachpelah, he turns to the B'nai Ches and he says, I am a stranger and a citizen together with you. Here again, Hashem says, Ki gerim v'toshavim atem imadi. And says the Menachem Tzion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omli Yisrael, God says to the Jewish people, Ki bein shneinu ha'echad yager v'asheni yatoshav. Ki b'shosh Yehudi mabir al atzmo ki ager ba'olam, hu ma'amen shu'urak b'prozdor l'vnei ha'traklin, az eya ani toshav b'socho. Beautiful insight. Says Menachem Tzion, God says to the Jewish people, one of us is a stranger, one of us is a resident. If you see yourself as just passing through this world, and you know that life is about eternity, it's about the world to come, it's about the afterlife, then I will be a resident with you on this journey. But if you think you're a resident, if you live for the here and now, if you think this is all that there is, then I'm going to be a ger. I'm only going to come in and out of your life. So there's the inverse. God says there's both. Whichever one you take, I'm going to be the opposite. You want me to be a toshav in your life, then be a ger in this world. Be a ger in this world. Rabbi Soloveitchik, back with Avraham Avinu, saw this as the calling card of the Jew. Our attitude must be, particularly in Galus, among foreign countries and nations, we're residents, we're patriots, we're full citizens, and we contribute and we take. But simultaneously, we're foreigners. On the other hand, we're outsiders. We need to know that we're both at the same time, and we can't and shouldn't make the mistake of being one more or only instead of the other. Okay, moving over to Parshas Bechukosai, page 708. Parachavav Pasuk Gimel, the beginning of the Parsha. Im Bechukosai Teleichu Ves Mitzvosai Teshmur V'Asisimosam. If you follow my chukim, my decrees, and you observe my commandments, and you perform them, Torah now goes on to list all kinds of promises. I'm going to make it rain, and your field will produce, and your children will multiply, and you're going to have peace in your country. All kinds of reward if we observe, if we embrace, if we keep, if we follow. Says the Menachem Tzion, again, this beautiful new addition. If you cultivate and condition your travels through this world, according, God says, to my prescription. As tochalno aleichem kol habrachas amurz lahalan. Hataman mistayim b'maymer kol hashena halachas b'chol yom uvtach l'sher ben olam haba. The Gemara at the end of Nida tells us, Kol Hashona Halachos B'chol Yom. Whoever reviews halacha every day is promised that they are a ben olam haba. They merit the world to come. Halichos olam lo, atikra halichos ela halachos. The pasuk in Habakkuk, halichos olam lo, don't read it our journeys, read it halachos, halacha. Haynu lehatimas halichos olam api halachos. B'chol derechecha de'eu, v'yasher archosecha. Pasuk in Mishlei. A Jew can go through this world and this life. A Jew can go through their day saying, I got it, God, I'll figure it out. I'll experiment. I'll do it the way I want. I'll do it the way that feels good. I'll do it the way that makes sense to me. Or a Jew can go through this world and say, Hashem, what's the halacha? What are you asking of me? How do I eat? How do I sleep? How do I speak? How do I do business? How do I operate with time? How do I operate in relationships? How do I operate in interpersonal? What does the halacha tell me? The word halacha, which we translate as law, doesn't mean law. Halacha is milashan halicha. What is halacha? It's the way I walk through life. It's telling me the prescription, the formula of how to walk through life. Rashi says, b'chukosai teilecho sh'tameilim b'torah. It means that a person needs to toil in Torah. Harei zet tzav aleim l'kulchem apo b'abal bayis ha'chenvani v'apikid ha'charashtan v'mada'an kol amaleichem yemechubun l'torah. All of our effort and all of our toil in whatever area we work, whatever is our profession, whatever is our career, wherever we live, whatever stage of life we're up to. Ba'atama gemura levacha, latziv gam b'chaya achol es zikronos ha-Torah la'adiram. Our whole mission, our whole life is to live Torah, is to manifest Torah, is to fulfill Torah in how we eat, in what we do, in where we go, in what we spend. Torah has something to say. Torah is the ultimate platform for life, for meaning and for purpose and for life. You see the benefits and the reward. But Jonathan Haidt, the social scientist, recently spoke about how religious children who are grown, brought up in religious homes, are happier and healthier, more well-adjusted. It's not the reason that we do it, but it affirms what the Torah here is promising us. A life of halacha, a life in which we're not trying to figure it out on ourselves, we're not guessing, we're not so arrogant to say we're in charge, but a life in which it's directed. Hashem, you are our creator. Hashem, you are our you programmed us. You know what's best for us, what's right for us. You know what brings the greatest fulfillment and satisfaction. And so our commitment is halacha, to walk through life with you. What does the halacha say? What comes in my mouth? What goes out of my mouth? Where I go? How do I connect with time? Everything. In the Haggadah of Pesach, you may remember, when we darshan, when we learn the word Es Amaleinu Elu Habanim. Our toil, our effort, that is the children. All of our effort is for the future. Whether it means biological children or it just means the future of the Jewish people. We don't live for today. We listen to today. We learn from yesterday, but we live for tomorrow, for a future, for a continuity, to pass it and pay it forward. That's why Esam Aleinu Elu Habanim. Elu Habanim, one of the 48 ways that Torah has acquired the Mishnah Avos, Rubam Amal V'Yegiyah, On Mekab Mischar Miyuchar Al Amal B'Torah, that we don't just learn Torah in a way that's easy. We don't just have it spoon-fed. We work, we toil. I love that you come to the Parsha Shir. It's so meaningful to me. And it's so important. And it's so beautiful. And I'm enriched by it. And I thank you. But it's not the highest level of learning. Highest level of learning is what you do, not when you're passively listening, but when you're actively engaged. Open a chumash. Read it, learn it, ask questions, study it, analyze it, challenge it, think critically about it. That act of engagement, that toil, that amelus, shetiu amelim, schwitz over it, break your teeth over it, work hard on it, learn the language, learn the commentaries, learn the rhythm, amelus. Gedol Yisrael zoch l'chesed Torah b'nei Hashem amlu b'yom v'layla b'di haref. Our greatest leaders were great, not only because they were born with brilliant minds often, but because they worked tirelessly, they toiled over it. That's the value, the Jewish value of work. But directed work, to remember what it's all about. Halicha, halacha, halichas olam. Rav Shor, in his new Sefer Nezer HaParsha, also has a beautiful insight along these lines. There's a medrash in the beginning of Parsha B'chukosai. Al ha-pasuk in B'chukosai Teilechu, Here's the Medrash. Amar David l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech, King David, said to God, Ribono Shel Olam Almighty, v'chol yom v'yom isim chashiv omer l'makom ploni ani holech. Every day I think where I'm going. V'chashiv omer l'makom ploni ani holech l'beis dira plonis ani holech. I'm going to this home. V'yiraglai m'viosos l'bate kines l'bate medrashos. I intended to go elsewhere, but Hashem, my feet, they kept taking me to shul. No matter where my mind was, no matter what coordinates I put in Waze or Google Maps, it didn't matter. My feet kept taking me to shul, to the base medrash. Yesh lahavin hakesh l'parsha b'chukosai. A beautiful image of David HaMelech who says his very feet were programmed. His very feet intuitively took him to the shul, to the base medrash. But what does that have to do with parsha b'chukosai? Why is that medrash at the beginning of our parsha? Muvur b'kamis farm api ma she'omar ha-rebbe kodesh rabbi Nachum Mendel Meriminov. Beperish ha-pasav v'yishlach avrim es yodo, sh'ayatzorach l'lucham mayad, u'ba'akorcha shal ayad osa maisa ushoto, ayad ha-yisadvuka kokach b'koch yis penimiyas, ha-ramach mitzazayim m'chumana seivorim, ad sh'osa rak ratzan ha-borei, v'kim shal yaratzan ha-borei, sh'yishcha yitzvak lo ratza ayad l'lachas. Because God did not want Avram's hand to ultimately slaughter Yitzchak, his hand didn't listen. His hand was programmed, it intuited, it followed the will of Hashem. Shamina Mizeki Adam Ashalam Shatikin Kol Ivarav Shatiya Chiyusan Api Torah. A Jew who's whole, a Jew who's living at the highest level. Mind you, this is difficult. It's not expected of each and every one of us, but it's something to aspire to. The complete, the whole Shalim Jew is living at the highest level. Their body is not in tension, in conflict with their soul. Their body is in consonance with their soul. The body is carrying out the will of the soul. The body intuits and instinctively goes to what the soul wants. Says Rav Shur, maybe that's why the pasuk, the medrash, is on our parsha. Maybe that's the taich, that's the meaning of in bechukosai teilechu. Hashem, I don't ask, I don't question, I don't demand or feel entitled to understand. Bechukosai, like a chok, telechu, I just go. When you tell me, go, eat, do, give, that's what my body is programmed to do. Telechu, shel yelchu me'atzman lasos ritzon Hashem. That's the goal. The goal is to get to a place where when it's time to daven shacharis, I wake up and jump out of bed. There's no snooze button. There's no procrastination. There's no laziness. There's no conflict between my body and my soul. Whatever's right and righteous to do in that moment is exactly what I've trained and conditioned my very instinct to be. Chukosai is begematria, baruch kvod Hashem imkomo. Kizoi tachos adam, shiz pashek vodi is baruch lamata b'olam hazeh. Because how do we honor God mimakomo from his place? If we live such a life, halacha bechukosai teilechu, that I do the right thing. There's no tension, there's no hesitation, there's no negotiation. I simply am programmed to instinctively and intuitively do the right thing. That's the goal. B'Shabbos Kodesh Nizgal Alo, ki B'Shabbos Yesh La'odim Neshama Yisera. On Shabbos we have our expanded soul, and Neshama Yeser Al Aguf, V'Lachin Nizgal Yosef Malchus Abar B'Shabbos Kodesh, Yismuchu B'Malchuscha, B'Malchuscha, B'Gematria Chukosai, Ayidei Dargas Chukosai, Nasa Gilo Shal Malchus Yisbarach Ba'olam. He has many more Gematria. Ayin is Chukosai, Ozen, Chotem, Peh, these using our senses, for our senses again, not to be in tension or conflict with Hashem. That's the goal, that's the mission of a Jew, to get such a level, to get to such a place where I'm not struggling, I'm not negotiating, I'm not debating, I'm not hesitating, I'm in consonance, I'm in complete sync. There's a perfect synergy between the halacha and the halicha, what Hashem wants and what I do. And maybe all of that is in the opening words, in bechukosai. With your chukim, whether I understand, don't understand, I am the chok, teilechu, I walk, I go in those ways, that's who I am. That's who I am. Perchavav Pasuk Gimel. One of the promises Hashem says, if I do this right, is, sorry, not Gimel, Yud Gimel. Sorry, let's first Chavav Hey. V'yishavtem lavetach. V'nasati shalom ba'aretz. If we observe, if we keep, then Hashem says, I will give peace in the land, v'shchavtem imacharid, v'shmati chayra min ha'aretz, and so on. Says the Menachem Tzion. Pasuk Hei and Pasuk Vav. V'yishavtem lavetach ba'aretzachem, v'nasati shalom ba'aretz. These two brachas. V'ishavtam la'vetach. What's the word vetach mean? Bitachon is security. You will dwell with security in your land, and I will give you peace in the land. Habracha shniyah v'nasati shalom ba'aretz mashlimas habracha rishona shelefaneha. How do they work, these two halves of these brachas? Listen carefully, because this is so beautiful and so relevant. Truly a parsha perspective for today. The second bracha, v'nasati shalom ba'aretz, I'll give you peace in your land, completes the first bracha of v'shavtem la'vetach. Why? You know, right now, again, we don't know what's going to be. Ben-Gurion's on high alert. Israel's on high alert. Will the war with Iran renew? We don't know what's going to be. You know what happens when there's an enemy from without? When ballistic missiles are flying through the air and Jews are running into bomb shelters, the fact that there's an enemy on the outside unites us on the inside. October 8th is perhaps the greatest Jewish unity. Unfortunately, it dissolved and dissipated way too quickly. But October 8th and 9th were the greatest Jewish unity in my lifetime. And even again now in the Iran war, those fights, those debates, even those important conversations and differences, they're set aside. When there's an enemy on attack, we find a way to come together. However, when the enemy's on the outside, it's quiet. It's quiet. They're at bay. There's a ceasefire. There's a peace treaty. There's an Abraham Accords. All quiet on the outside. All of a sudden, the factions and the different groups and the different coalitions and the different communities now battle on the inside. And therefore, the ultimate promise is this. If you're guided by Torah, Torah principles, Torah life, Torah lifestyle, as a Torah va'amitzvah ta'achdena, as kuchem l'goy echad pa'aretz, you'll fulfill, you'll be blessed, you'll merit to get both halves the promise. Because if we're not doing it right, we only get one half. And is this not exactly what we've seen? Is this not exactly what we've lived through? Exactly what we lived through? On October 6th, we were killing each other in Israel. We heard again this past Shabbos from one of our visitors. On October 6th, on Yom Kippur, before October 7th, Yom Kippur, a week before, Jews in Tel Aviv attacking each other, going after each other, fighting with each other, judicial reform, the brink of a civil war. So what happens? Then we get attacked on the outside. That unites us on the inside. Then we get a ceasefire on the outside. We go back to killing each other on the inside. Why can't we have both? Can't we have peace both on the outside and the inside? Says the Torah, Im b'chukosai teilechu, then you get both. V'yishavtem lavetach, you'll have bitachon, no ballistic missiles, v'nasati shalom ba'aretz, and peace on the inside. That's our hope, that's our wish, that's our greatest dream, is to be able to get both. Because until now, it seems like it's either or. When it's quiet on the outside, we find a way to kill each other on the inside. And when it's fighting on the outside, that's what unites us on the inside. Can't we just have both? Peace from without and peace from within? In order to merit that, we have to have b'chukosai teilechu. We have to come from a place of mitzvosai teshmeru v'asisim asam, azay zok the Menachem Tzion. That is the beautiful insight of Rav Nachum ben Tzion Zaks. Pasuk Yud Gimel, turn the page. Now, in this promise, v'yisalachti b'sochachem, God says, I'll walk among you. V'yisam lachem lalokim, you'll be for me like a God. I will be for you like a God. V'atemti yuli la'am. Ani Hashem. I am God. Asher otzeis yischem yetz v'sorim, I took you out of Egypt. No longer slaves. Motos ulchem, I will break the yoke. And I will lead you komamius. What's meant to komamius? I will lead you komamius. What is komamius? What is komamius that I'll lead you? Says the Tefer Shmuel on Bechukosai, I will lead you komamius. Yesh lefar, Rashi says, Bekoma zakufa, you're going to stand upright. Upright. You know, the image of the Jew for too much of our last 2,000 years of history, is slumped over, weak and frail and slumped over, apologetic and defensive, Hashem says, live the life I'm asking you to live, meet the expectations, and I will walk you into my land, koma mias. You will stand, bekoma zekufa. You will stand upright. You will stand tall. What is the source of being upright? What is that source of being tall? Yesh lafarsh inya halicha, says Rav Shmuel Berenbaum. Koma zekufa mdnei shepsukim elah kosh boruch mavtiach l'amal yatora kol harbi brachos. The male is that no sin lama omets lamar kenegi kol mafriyam omdin l'negdam velalos ba'amilas hatora. You know what is the source of your standing up straight? Not a chiropractor, not yoga, not stretching, not Pilates, not because you wear some device. You know what's going to make you stand up tall? The Amelis B'Torah. Im b'chukosai teilechu. If you're Amel B'Torah, if you walk around like a proud Jew, you wear a yarmulke on your head, you observe Torah and mitzvos, that will give you the courage and the conviction and the pride and the power. I've said many times, this is our answer to anti-Semitism. Stop pouring millions of dollars into organizations that have given a negative return on stopping anti-Semitism. Put it into Jewish education. Put it into Jewish outreach. Put it into Jewish community. Put it into Jewish practice. Put it into giving us a backbone again. Put it into giving us a spine. Put it into giving us komamias for us to stand tall and proud, unembarrassed, unashamed, unapologetic. What gives us that courage and that conviction? Because we know who we are and where we come from. Because we have faith and confidence in Hashem and where we're going. Because nobody's going to knock us down. Nobody's going to take us out. Nobody's going to make us take off our yarmulke or our Jewish symbol or sign. Take that money and stop putting commercials that make us look like a victim, that we need people to stand up to the bullies for us. Instead, any Jew who's willing to put a mezuzah on their door at college will send you a mezuzah. Any Jew willing to wear a Magen David, any Jew putting on a yarmulke, any Jew will wear a pair of tefillin every day. Let's take that same money and put it into being a koma zakufa, how to stand tall and proud and have a spine, and have a spine. Says the Tiferes Shmuel, that's where the koma zakufa is coming from. That koma zakufa is not coming from some chiropractor. The koma zakufa, standing upright and tall, is coming from knowing who we are, where we come from, where we're going, what we're about, who we're the children of, who has our back, what our life is really all about. What our life is really all about. There's a moshav in Israel called Moshav Komamiut. Got its name in 1952. The Shemitah year drew a close. It's observant of Shemitah. It's a whole story, not for now. But it appears exactly one time in all of Tanakh, and that is our parsha. Our parsha. So what does it mean exactly? Rashi quotes Komaz Kufa. Upright. Unklos translates it as the Daboris Yaschon L'Cherusa, freedom. When do you stand up? When you're not a slave, when you're not in fear, when you're free. The Gemara Baba Basra, Daf Ayin Hei, V'olech Eschem Komamiyos, Rabbi Meir Omer, Masayim Ama, Kishtei Komo Shel Adam Arishon. And how tall we stand? Two stories tall, very tall, like Adam Arishon. We are like a skyscraper in Manhattan. We stand tall. We use this in our davening. When do we say it in our davening? In the bracha before Shema. The bracha, so that you're going to take us, komamius, Lord Seinu. Chsam Sofer Netshuva, Yorodeya, Shin Lamed Beis explains, Tiknu bebracha avarabba lomar betolichinu komamius Lord Seinu. What do we mean? We say it every day. We're invoking it from our pasuk, our parsha. God, solichinu komamius Lord Seinu. Take us, komamius, to our land. It's a little bonus sitter snippet for you here. What does it mean when we say, take us komamius to our land? Says the Chassam Sofer in that tshuva, la'afuke la'achar misa, aydei gilgol ela b'chaim komamius. You could go to Israel one of two ways, lying down in a box or standing upright and tall. You could go after you're dead to be buried there, or you could go while you're alive to live there. Of course, all of us should not wait to be buried there. Aliyah is not a question of if, but when. You know, I'm not shy to encourage, to promote, to motivate, to inspire. Baruch Hashem, we have more than a dozen families from our community making Aliyah this summer. Next week, we have a beautiful event, Yom Yerushalayim, to celebrate the concert, their Aliyah. And that's the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer. Solichenu komamius yartzeinu, that our tefillah every day when we daven before Shema is, let us not go lying down in a box, let us go standing up alive. In his essay, Kol Dodido Faker of Soloveitchik explains, he writes, fourth, the beloved knocks in the heart of the youth, which is assimilated and perplexed. The period of Hestepanim in the 1940s brought confusion among Jewish masses, especially Jewish youth. Assimilation increased and the urge to flee from Judaism, the Jewish people reached its apex. Fear, despair, and ignorance caused many to forsake the Jewish community. A seemingly unstoppable tidal wave stood over us and threatened to destroy us. Suddenly, the beloved began to beckon to the hearts of the perplexed, and his beckoning, the establishment of the State of Israel, slowed the process of flight. Many who were once alienated are now bound to the Jewish state with ties of pride in its mighty accomplishments. Indeed, many Israelis call the 1948 War of Independence, they call it Milchemet HaKomemiut. It is the war of standing upright. It was the war of standing tall. If 1948 brought pride after 1967 and the Six-Day War, like the Gemara explained, Komemius, Jews walked around and felt like they were 10 feet tall. 10 feet tall. After October 7th, we were knocked down several stories. We lost that sense of Komemius. I would argue, almost 3 years later, we're standing tall again. Of course, disturbed and bothered by how many enemies we have, but incredibly proud. Proud of how the world has come, if not to love and respect us, but to fear us. To fear us, Komemius, to know who we are and what we're made of and what we can do. Do you know that the other day, the United Arab Emirates, the UAE, the other day, yesterday, with 30 rockets, there's still a ceasefire between Iran, the US, and Israel. Nebuch, the UAE, we visited last year, incredible people, really sincere, in their open-mindedness, welcoming, love of Jews. I felt safer walking the streets of Dubai and Abu Dhabi than of New York. And Nebuch, they've taken four times as many rockets as Israel from Iran, as his other Gulf countries. Do you know what the UAE did to knock those rockets out of the sky yesterday? They used the Iron Dome batteries that they got from Israel. Do you know who manned those Iron Dome batteries that knocked those rockets out of the sky to defend the UAE? It was members of the IDF. It was members of Israel's Defense Force who operated the Iron Dome in the UAE, in an Arab country in the Middle East. Jewish members of the IDF helped protect this wealthy country who didn't have access to this technology. That's Komemius. That's Komemius. That's standing tall. Rav Hirsch suggests to properly understand Komemius, the end of the Pasuk, you have to look at the Pasuk that came before. I'll be ever present in your midst and you'll be my people. We don't walk tall upright with a sense of pride because of our own power. It's when we know, when a Yid lives and knows who enabled. We had here one of the scientists who invented the Iron Dome. And he spent that Shabbos talking about how it was divine providence. It was divine breakthrough. He contrasted, it was a Yaakov, not a Yisrael, but it was Yaakov, if you remember that talk. But that's Hashem. Person has to know, v'salachti b'sochachem. Our head is high, not from our own arrogance or accomplishment or pride. Our head is high because we know Hashem dwells and walks within us. Komemius is confidence and courage to wear our yarmulke or put that flag or magnet on your car, even if it's unpopular, to go and to do what we know we need to do. The Minchas Elazar, this has been our dream of 2,000 years. The Minchas Elazar, not a Zionist, not a religious Zionist, an anti-Zionist, perhaps among the greatest, the Minchas Elazar, the Munkacher, signs off tshuvas, Chela Gimel, Simon Samach Vav, and others, V'yolichenu komemius li'artzenu b'mehir av yameinu. The end of his tshuva was the hope and the wish that we can go komemius to our land. The Sri Deish of Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg signs off a tshuva, Hashem Yisbarach Yerachem Asheiros Nachalos Yivatam Yalenu Kogzeros Kashos V'ra'os V'yolichinu Mehera Komemius Li'artzeinu. All we want is to walk upright and proud, to be independent and strong, to be able to defend ourselves. And we are Zocha, we are meriting to live in that time. But it's fragile and it's vulnerable and it can disappear, the fulfillment of that Brach of Komemius, if we don't, with it, recognize that Hashem, it's only V'salachti B'sochachem. It is only when we know that Hashem is walking with us, when He is with us. To be blessed with Komemius is to drop the mentality of fear, of being enslaved, of needing and relying only on the approval of others. Komemius is not just a moshav, it's a mindset. It's the fulfillment of this bracha, of this promise. It's one of the things that we have to be so incredibly grateful to Hashem for, to be living it in our time.
but to also double down on remembering that it only comes when the salachti b'sochachem, when we credit Hashem with emuna and bitachon and bracha. We barely got to anything I wanted to talk about in B'chukosai. Mitzvah Hashem will pick up with it next time again. Next week, Sunday instead of Tuesday. Pay attention for the timing. Please stay to complete all of Sefer Tehillim. And have a wonderful, happy Lag BaOmer.